Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
So true. Food is a great connector. I've been studying the five languages of love. I've decided to say that food is the sixth language of love. Yeah, truly, you know, we have got all the words and actions and time and affirmation, but food is a great connector, I believe, even more so for families with grown-up children. Serve food, they will come back. And little hungry children, serve food and they will love you. Even the cats, two cats have come back from Sydney with my daughter. Just give them food and they will follow you throughout the whole house. Food is a great connector, huh? So use food as a great connector with people. It is so good to be able to do Psalm. Psalms is my favorite. I have been eating on the food that is offered. Food again. The food that is offered in Psalms. And Psalms is just such a great reservoir of hope. And I'm so pleased that Pastor has set aside a few Psalms this year just before we end the year, to go into Psalm and enjoy what God wants us to have in Psalm. So today I've actually entitled the sermon, Extraordinary Hope. And I believe that in Psalm 46, we'll be able to find the extraordinary hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, if we need hope, if we need that special dimension in our life that will help us be able to look to the good of the future with trusting confidence, this is the right place. And Psalm 46 is the right psalm to do this morning. So before we do anything, let's just ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we thank you so much that in your wisdom, in your infinite wisdom, you reserve the word of God for us so that when we go through difficult times, that Lord, you will help us go straight into your word to draw out the gold that is in your word, the food that you have reserved for your children, the nourishment that we can have from your word. And today, even as you have set aside Psalm 46 for us to meditate on, I pray that God, the lessons that is from the psalm, dear Lord, will prosper our hearts, will make our souls rich in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I attended the ACC meeting. ACC, remember, stands for Australian Christian Churches. We must all know because we all belong to this movement, all right? So we are called the Australian Christian Churches. If, of course, you are in Singapore, you don't say you are from ACC, you say you are from the Assemblies of God, because the Assemblies of God and the ACC, we are affiliated. We call ourselves branding. Australia, we want to have a different branding. We call ourselves the ACC. But anyway, I was at the ACC meeting, and Pastor Wayne Alcorn, and now you also must know this, the president of the national president of ACC is called Pastor Wayne Alcorn. So if people say Pastor Wayne Alcorn, he says, I know, that's the head of the whole ACC, yeah? Okay, so Pastor Wayne Alcorn said something that was really, really interesting. I find one word which he spoke from his series of sermons there, one word which really touched me, and that was the word margin. The word margin. Oh, how come my notes went right to the end? Margin is the spare amount, or like this morning song, Jack, you have got one word in your song that is the word measure. Margin is the spare amount or the spare measure that is allowed for contingencies or special situations. We all need a margin of hope. Yeah, if you want to have trusting confidence for the good of the future, we all need a margin. We all need a spare measure of hope, because we may need it in a special situation or in a contingency. And in Psalm 46, I hope that we are able to draw from the lessons in Psalm 46 a great margin of hope, so that when you go through any special situations in your life, when you go through any contingencies, you can have that margin of hope to count on. The good news about it is that the margin of hope can be cultivated. So today, if your level of hope is very low, don't worry, this is the pumping station. God is here. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of us. He is here. He's a God of hope. In fact, I love Romans 15, 13. That's my favorite new verse now. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, with all peace, when you trust in Him. And then let the overflow of your hope, which comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, be in you. So the God of hope is here. So if your level or your margin or your measure of hope is low today, this is the right place. Because God wants to charge you with new levels of hope. In fact, when you make God your hope, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8 says that you are like a tree of life. When I first read this verse, I thought it's only Psalm 1 that talks about the tree of life. Jeremiah 17 also talks about the tree of life. If you make God your hope and your confidence, then you are like a tree of life planted by the water. And your roots are not shallow, your roots are deep. And your roots go right into the water, into the ground, where you are so soaked in the ground that you are able to draw nourishment from the ground, from the water, and you bear leaves that are evergreen, and your fruits will never run dry. And your fruits will be bountiful. I call such a person with a great margin of hope, one that has got resilience. Or if you want to illustrate a person of resilience, it's like you are like a bouncing ball, that you are able to bounce back. You see, this is my first slide. I'm so proud of it. Can you? So good. Let me just enjoy it for a while, because it took me very long to get this done. When you have extraordinary hope in the Lord, you have resilience, you have the margin of hope, you have the spare measure of hope, that when you go through a special situation, you are able to bounce back. Christians are not immune from special situations. We all go through difficult times, right? But you have the ability, if you've got a good measure of hope, to be able to bounce back. The people in Psalm 46 went through the most difficult time, but they are able to bounce back because they have a great margin of hope. Now, this Psalm 46 is very much connected to a history in Israel where they have the king, King Hezekiah. So today, I will rely a little bit on the history of the King Hezekiah to talk about Psalm 46. King Hezekiah, because of his father's responsibility, had to pay tribute to the Assyrians. Because remember the last time when I talked to you about King Ahaz, King Ahaz was the father of King Hezekiah. King Ahaz didn't trust God enough, and so he decided to take his own action of asking the Assyrians to come and help Israel. And the Assyrians came, and of course fought against the enemies and then drove them out. But the Assyrians wanted King Ahaz to pay tribute. And so King Ahaz paid tribute in his reign. But when King Hezekiah came after him, King Hezekiah had to pay tribute as well. But this new king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, so a few kings, but it's good, history is good. Are you keen in history? It's good. When you read Psalm, you got to know a bit of history so you enjoy Psalm better. Yeah? King Sennacherib, who is a new king of Assyria, says, okay, you have paid me tribute, but that's not good enough. If as long as you oppose me, I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to conquer you. I am going to destroy you. So his every intent was to possess, not to just let the nations pay tribute to them, was to possess. And so because of that, this created a very hostile and very destructive environment for the people of King Hezekiah as well as the nation. It was going through a difficult time. Sometimes we live in a world that even though we may do right, many things are still against us. You can do all the right things, and things are still against us. Like what happened in Melbourne, you did the right thing. You go out, you do the right, you didn't do anything wrong, but there happened to be this madman on the street. Things go wrong. So the hope of the people of Judah was tested. But I've got good news for you. In the darkest of situations, however dark it is, the extraordinary hope of the Lord shines the brightest. How does that happen? This is a paradox. This is a great mystery of the good news. That's why I love reading the good news. You know, you read all the news in the world, it's so gloomy and so hopeless. But when you read the Word of God, even bad situations can turn to good. Because the extraordinary hope of the Lord shines the brightest in a time that can be the darkest. How can you create that margin of hope? I've got a few suggestions. Number one is Psalm 46, King Hezekiah realized one thing. If you want to have the margin of hope, like what Jack's song say, or the song that Jack led said, there must be that waiting on the person of Christ. When there is waiting on the person of Christ, the margin of hope increases. So the first thing first is the person of Christ. How do we increase our margin of hope? How do we bounce back? How do we have that resilience? Is to have that belief in the person of Christ. So let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says, God, verse 1, and then verse 7, and then verse 11. I'm jumping, huh? We need to jump a little, must be resilient. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When something is important, it repeats again. Psalm 46 is a very short psalm. But this verse, verse 7, is repeated again in verse 11. So that means it must be very important. Okay? It says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Repeat again. So which means it's true. It's emphatic. It is real. The person of Christ. So the enemies may be mighty, but the Lord, He is almighty. So when things come against us and they are mighty in their impact, remember, the Lord, He is almighty. In other words, He is greater than us or anything that exists. And He is not subject to any human limitation. Because the Lord God is almighty, He is infinite. He is infinite. In fact, we are told in Psalm 46, He is the infinite God of Jacob, who is our fortress. If you know Jacob, Jacob was the weak one. He was the runaway. He was the one who ran and had to sleep on a pillow. And then God showed him in a dream of who he is. And then what he did was he knit himself with God. He says, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. He knit himself with God until God gives him a blessing. And God blessed him not only for this generation, God blessed him for his future generations. That's why we have God of Abraham, God of Jacob, and God of Isaac. If you were there at the leaders' meeting, Pastor talked about the length, or not the leaders' meeting, the praise and prayer night. If you were there that night, Pastor preached about the length of God's love. The length of God's love extends not only to our generation, the length of God's love extends to future generations. So Jacob recognized the person of Christ, wrestled with God himself, the scholars say, wrestled with God himself, and God blessed him on that night where he refused to let God go until God blessed him. See, if you have got that sort of deposit from the person of Christ, then you have a great margin of hope. And possibilities and miracles can happen when your margin of hope is in the person of Christ, because Christ is infinite. He can, like what Jack says, he can go through walls. He can cross boundaries. So when you are in Christ, even though there are days where you don't feel so up, when there are days where you don't feel so good, when there are days you feel really down, when you feel down, the bounce is on. When you are in the person of Christ, you will go right to the very bottom, but you will bounce back on because your faith, your margin of hope is centered in the person of Christ. The infinite power of God helped King Hezekiah. What happens to King Hezekiah? When King Hezekiah trusted God and says, God, you know, the Assyrians are so unreasonable. I've paid them my due. I've paid them the tribute, but they are still out to dispose us. God says, don't you worry. I'm going to fight the battle for you. And so if you read Kings and Chronicles, you will read that on the very night when God spoke to King Hezekiah, whose margin of hope is in the person of Christ, what happened that night was 185,000 Assyrians were just slain supernaturally. Nobody laid any hands on them. They were slain. And the next morning, the people of Judah found 185,000 people without their doing slain on the ground. How do you explain that? The infinite power of the Lord. But of course, you know, that's the Old Testament. Don't we wish for people to be slain on the street? One running in Melbourne, two killed already. We are like, oh God, the world is coming to an end. 185,000, that's a lot. In the Old Testament, that's the way things are done. In the New Testament, we are told that in this world, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities of this world. And so God gives us victory. God gives us victory because He is the infinite God. And when we trust in Him, Romans 5:5 tells us that this hope does not disappoint. This hope in us, this resilience in us, this margin, this measure of hope that is in us because we trusted the person of Christ will not disappoint you. But I've got another good news. Oh, I'm full of good news. The other good news is that God is not just infinite. Of course, He has got supernatural power. But the best part is God is also personal. He is also personal. I was just listening to 98.5 when I came here. He says sometimes it's not just, you know, you want people to rescue you, no. You want people to stand alongside with you to tell you it's all right. Put their arms around you and says, okay, I'm here. Yeah, God is personal. Of course, He rescues us. And I've been rescued so many times. I can write a book. God has rescued me so many times. But the best part about God all these 30 over years as a Christian is that whenever I go through any difficult time, be it short or long, the best part is this God that I believe in since my teenage years never left me. Never left me. In fact, do you know, when Jesus was on the cross, the Father never left Him. Though He says, right? Though He says, you know, you are so far away from me. You have left me and my God, you have forsaken me. No, that was only a Jewish prayer. In actual reality, the Father has never left Jesus. He cannot leave Jesus. You know what I'm saying? When the Father leaves us, when God leaves us, my goodness, evil is going to be chaotic. He will never leave us. God will never leave us because God is personal. And here in Psalm 46, it says, God is personal because God is our refuge, God is our strength, and God is our ever-present help in trouble. And those who will seek Him, Acts 17 says, those who will seek Him will find Him as He is not far away from us. One of the beautiful songs that I've sung recently, and we sung it in Nolamara, we sang it here, we sang it at the ACC conference, must be a very popular song, I don't know who wrote it, but it says, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who You are. Yeah? What song? Where is that from, Jack? Do you know? Anyway, yeah, for you to find out. Open up our eyes in wonder and show me who you are. God is personal. He wants to show us, truly, He wants to show us who He is. And when we are able to believe that, believe the person of Christ, that hope that is in us becomes an anchor. Hope is an anchor, and is only when we are anchored in the person of Christ can we become calm and even joyful in a special situation. It says God of hope fills you with joy and with peace. How can you have joy and peace in a special situation when you're going through a difficult time? How can that happen? That's a mystery. That's a paradox. But it can happen. God wants us to be anchored in Him so that we can remain calm and we can remain joyful. See, a lot of things can come and chip at our confidence. A lot of things can come and threaten us. Just like, for example, the Assyrians came to King Hezekiah, and the Assyrian says, don't let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria came to King Hezekiah and says, if God tells you that God's going to deliver you from the hands of the Assyrians, don't you ever believe him. Sometimes unbelief comes like that, isn't it? People come and tell you, you know, don't you believe in the Lord? The Lord has left you. The Lord has forsaken you. Don't believe that. Because what happens? God supernaturally came and delivered the king of Judah from the hands of the Assyrians. Or the Assyrians came to threaten the people of Judah. He says, surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. Will you be delivered? Sometimes a still small voice comes to you when you're going through a difficult time. I think this is the end. You can't be delivered. It is too difficult. This is a situation you have fallen into a hole too deep. You cannot get out. And sometimes these voices come and make you become pessimistic about life, make you despair about life, or even make you cynical about life. You go through a hope deficit. It's terrible to go through a deficit. But if you keep focusing on those things, then you can go into a hope deficit where you go through life keeping your fingers crossed. I hope so. I think so. I don't know, but I'm sure it will happen, but I'm also not very sure that is going to be this way. You cross your fingers and go through life not sure of when your delivery or deliverance will come. I think it's a terrible thing to live this sort of a life. But when we trust in the Lord Almighty, things may be mighty against us, but the Lord is almighty. The Lord will manifest Himself as the infinite one. He's the one who can perform supernatural things. And yet at the same time, He's a personal God that will care for us, that will be near us, that will help us. So when we believe in the person of Christ, that's how our margin of hope can increase. Amen? Amen. The second thing is this. If you want to increase in your margin of hope, not only do we trust in the person of Christ, God is already in you. He says, the God of hope is already in you. He gives you the joy. He gives you the peace. It's already in you. It's a given. God is in you. But what we need to do, if you want to increase the margin of hope, is to have what we call preparation. Preparation. So the second one is preparation. So if you look at verses 6 to 4 to 6, you get a very interesting piece of history there. It's beautiful. Oh, so good. I may remember we went to this place where we saw the aqueduct in Israel. I'm going to talk about that part of the history. It's really, really interesting. So in verses 4 to 6, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. It is in this city of God that the river flows. So when there come a time
that is threatening the people of Judah, God provided in the city of God a river. If you understand how this river comes about by our understanding of history, you'll realize the importance of preparing for ourselves and for the people around us in a time that is difficult. Here, King Hezekiah realized that if he wants the city of God to be protected against the threat of the Assyrians, because the Assyrians can come and they can block off a lot of exits. If they block off the exits, especially of the river coming into the city, it will be doomed. You know, once you cut off the supply of water from the city will be doomed. So King Hezekiah thought of a good plan, strategized a good plan by the help of God. He realizes that he probably would need to bring the river into the city. And so he was very clever. He constructed an aqueduct. So when we were in Israel, I was talking to May. Today I'm getting a little bit conversational. Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit more with you guys. We were in Israel and we saw this aqueduct. I was just also talking with Kelvin just now, who has also been to Israel. We were talking about the aqueduct as well. We didn't actually go inside the aqueduct. It seems that the other group went inside the aqueduct, but we just saw it from afar. But it's good enough to know that historically this happened. And this is a very interesting feature. It's a very interesting architecture, because King Hezekiah prepared the city as a place of refuge, as a place of shelter, as a safe place. If you want hope to increase in your life, you got to prepare for it. You got to create an environment. You got to do something. And King Hezekiah created a aqueduct which he built from the Gihon Spring, drawing from the Kidron River all the way into the Pool of Siloam, right into the city of God. So that this water system is so efficient, is able to supply water to the whole city of David, even under attack. It was a lifeline. It was a lifeline. Up till today, when people go to Israel, they will go and see this aqueduct to witness the resourcefulness of God's people, to witness the resourceful God, the infinite and personal God, that when we count on Him, we are able to draw that strength from Him to build something so good in the city of God. You see, hope is a dimension of spiritual life that is really vital. We all need hope. If all of us here, seated here, are not hopeful, we have no hope for ourselves, we have no hope for our family, we have no hope for this whole community. We are here, in fact, can I say that we are here drawing from the strength of this river that is in God. The river of God is flowing just when we were worshiping there. It is like when we were in the whole time of worship, the river of God is flowing. The river of God brings hope to us. The river of God brings blessings to us. And as we sit in the worship time, it's like the river of God come and blesses us. So it's good that we all jump in to worship the Lord, jump in to praise the Lord, and to draw from this river of God the hope that is present in the river of God to bless us and to bring us that resilience. And I think right now is really, really apt that the river of God is still flowing. Now, all throughout the time of our service, God's river is flowing. And some of you have come to us to say that today is a very special day, 9/11. And internationally, globally, people are calling this day a Remembrance Day. And they have also taken 11/11 at this time, in 1 minute's time. Is that right, Paul, John? 30 seconds more. To be able to take a minute's silence and to be able to remember those that have passed on in that disaster in 9/11. Ground Zero, we were there the last time. The whole place is meditative. and quiet, but for us as believers, it is really to worship God, even in a time like this. Many things have happened, but it's a time of calmness and just reflecting upon the Lord. Let's take this 1 minute silence as we remember our world. Yeah, we need to build into our lives many moments of silence. Even though this is only for a minute, I would encourage you to actually build silence into your life just to be able to increase your margin of hope, especially when we worship the Lord in our silence, in our contemplation. So this hope is a vital dimension of spiritual life. It's only when we are able to wait on God that we can increase this level of hope, this margin of hope. It is a great dimension of spiritual life, but it needs to be built up. Recently, one of my friends said, you know, it is good that as we come to this sort of an age that we that we need to be able to develop our intellectual ability. And he says one thing we could do is to be able to learn a new language. And so what he has done was to have knowledge of Chinese idiom. And I learned one Chinese idiom on waiting. And the Chinese idiom is this, and I'm going to flash the next PowerPoint for you. And this is a Chinese word called 守株待兔. 守株待兔. The meaning is that we don't only just wait passively. The story goes like this. The story goes like this. That there was this farmer who was sitting under a tree, and then he was just waiting. And while he was waiting, having a rest, there was this rabbit that came charging at the tree, and it killed itself. And then the farmer had an idea. He says, maybe if I were to wait passively at this tree long enough, every rabbit in this farm would just come crashing to the tree and I'll get rabbit every day. And of course, you know that's not true. So the proverb means 守株待兔. The meaning is you don't just wait passively as well. All right? Waiting in God is not just waiting passively. It is not waiting for things to happen. Sometimes in the waiting, like even with our 1 minute silence, you know, afterwards it's good to talk about it as well. In our waiting, God may be asking us to do something. God may be wanting to increase our margin of hope, to bring into the situation a new perspective. Whatever God wants to do, it is so good to be able to wait on God, because God is providing the answer to the world through you. And as you wait on God, as you wait actively in God, God will give you His plan. God will give you the details of what He wants so that you are able to bring hope to the people around you. I got to know this girl, Charlotte, some weeks ago. Charlotte is a missionary to Batam. Very attractive young lady. She mixes around with a lot of rich people. And the reason is because she, well, has got rich friends, because she was, you know, working with these people. But now, because she is now a missionary to Batam, she then appeals to them for funds to help the 24 orphans in Batam. She is charged with hope from the Lord, but she doesn't let the hope just go to waste. She channels her hope into a group of 24 orphans in Batam. And when we were there, I was there one day to spend time, to just, you know, be with them, spend time with them. We were asked to go and tutor one special needs kid, but we never get to do it because she wasn't able to concentrate. And so all I did was just to spend time. You see, sometimes it's just to spend time with people. You don't have to teach mathematics or science to make everything come into place. It's just spending time to bring hope. And we were there, and we realized the profile of the orphans were really, really pitiful. There was one 18-year-old who was there, and she was left by the father in a hotel waiting to be picked up by any orphanage. There was this 5-month-old baby. She was left at the doorstep, and she was, you know, just left there for the orphanage to pick up. And there was a pair of sisters that were really, really cute. In fact, when the group went, they always wanted these two to be adopted into the family because they really were very intelligent, very bright. But they were left behind by the parents. Sometimes when we wait on God, God gives us that level of hope for ourselves so that you become joyful, become peaceful. But sometimes God uses that hope that is put in you for other people as well. And what Charlotte did was she goes into that place with all the money she raised for the 24 orphans. She goes there, she identifies those people that are bright but no opportunity. And so she will use the money, identify these kids, and she will put these kids into a private school so that these kids can really better themselves in education. And then they are able to find a place in society later on. Much like what we are doing with Nias. I'm so thankful that when God charges us in the service, when the Lord's river flows with His blessings, that God flows His blessings into you, but we let the blessings of God flow through us like a channel. That the hope of God propagates. The hope of God reproduces. That when we sit in the presence of God, sometimes it may be something that the leader said. It may be something that I say, pastor say, or somebody here says something. And that triggers something in you, increases the hope in you, and you become that channel. And God will teach you. God is the best tutor. God will teach you how to direct that hope so that God can use you as a tool of His handiwork. God can use you as the life that is prepared for good works. That's why our life is prepared for good works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, that our life is prepared for good works. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepares in advance for us to do. The city of God, the church of God, is full of extraordinary hope. And I pray that we will use opportunities here in the worship. Don't take the worship time as a time, oh, we are only singing. No. In fact, God speaks to me always, so many times in the worship. Worship time is a time where you go into the riches of the Lord Jesus and let Him bless you. Let Him channel His hope into you. It's a time for you to be either in quietness or in songs to just worship the Lord. The city of God. The city of God. The river of God is God's supernatural provision for His people. And God so wants to charge us with strategies. God so wants to charge us with preparation so that we are able to be that person that is full of the hope of God. Amen? So it's only when our margin of hope is high and broad that possibilities, that miracles can happen in our lives and in the people around us. The third thing is this. The third thing is to have a posture where you have got this hope deposited in you. Verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, our bodies are not made to go on and on and on. Of course, we've got work to do. Of course, we've got responsibilities. Yeah, sometimes the whole household is yours to manage. Sometimes the whole office is for you to manage. Sometimes you've got a whole sphere that you've got to be responsible for. But our bodies are not made to go on and on. It's not made to perform and perform and perform. And that's why there is one good Latin word. And I shall not say that to you because I won't know how to pronounce that. But it just means that you can go on and on, burn and burn, and not be burned out. So the good news is you can go on and work and work, do and do whatever God calls you to do, you can do and do, but you need not be burned out. If only you can cultivate the posture of stillness before God. We have experienced just now a minute of stillness. Stillness for the world. A stillness for our fellow people. But stillness is a silence. Stillness is a quiet time. Stillness is a ceasing of the war that you cannot win. Sometimes we are confronted with so many things and we wish we can just go and do something. Or in fact, when things happen to us, we want to do more because we think by doing more, the problems get solved. But the thing is this, we need during such times to have a time of stillness. Be still and know that God is in control. It is to stop all frantic activity. It's to bring into focus our being to God. It is to rest in God. And in that resting in God, to cultivate that deep connection, that deep communion with God. And it is only in that time of stillness, in the time of resting in God, in the time where we cease from all our frantic activity, that we can hear from God, that we can draw strength from God. If you read Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, if you think 1 minute is very long as a silence, you should really develop a longer silence. The angels themselves, we were told in Revelation 8, 1, kept silence for half an hour. If you go and read Revelation 1, it says, when the angels of God looked expectantly to Jesus, there was a silence in heaven for half an hour. So stillness does not mean you don't do anything. It just means you let go of things. It let go of activities that make you fearful and turbulent. So you need to reach out to God in a time of stillness, and that stillness can come whether is a background of music, or you can take a walk. These days I'm developing a bit of a walk. I try to walk from my place to Hyde Park, and during that time I put on my Fitbit, keep track of how many steps I do. I put on music, I put on words from the Lord in terms of sermons, and I just walk that half an hour or that 45 minutes, just walk. Be in that period of stillness so that your brain does not have to engage all your activities, all your work, all your worries, your concerns. Leave them all out. Just focus on the Lord, because that is your worship. When you're able to focus on the Lord, that is your worship, because Isaiah 26:3 tells us if our mind is fixed on God, then we will have perfect peace. It's to dedicate a time, it's to carve out a time. Listen to me. Sometimes we get so busy, we burn and we burn and we burn and we can burn out. We need to cultivate a time of stillness, a time where we draw on the strength of God, a time where we just cease from all our worries, yeah, and just be still and just wait on God, like the psalmist in Psalm 23, where you go by the still waters to have your soul restored in God. Because when you allow your own natural mechanism to take over, your mind will always revert back to the things that are negative. In fact, here in Psalm 46, if the people of Judah are not able to focus on God, all they will see is the war, the bow, the spear, the shields, and there will be more panic and more stress. But what did King Hezekiah do? King Hezekiah sought the Lord and the prophet Isaiah. And then prophet Isaiah told King Hezekiah, look, you don't have to worry. In fact, he says this year you will eat what grows by itself. And in the second year, what springs from that. So it's 2 years, King Hezekiah was told, you don't have to worry. The first 2 years of Israel's life, you will not even have to farm for it. First 2 years. And then in the third year, you will sow, you will reap, you will plant vineyards, you will eat their fruit. And once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant. That's us. For out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. That's us. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Wow, because of the hope that King Hezekiah has, and the people of Judah and their hope in God, they begin to propagate the life of God through generations. If you don't give up, if you stay hopeful, if you trust the Lord, if you draw from Him, you will not only sustain yourself, you will sustain our future generations. This is what God says. And sometimes God will allow you not even have to work for things that you so desire. My brother just texted me the other day. He says, sis, I don't know what to do. I thought it was a problem. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, help me manage this. Oh, okay, whoa, my counselor antenna comes out. Wants to manage things, yes. He says, help me manage this. Somebody, and he's in a guitar group in the church, and they were planning a trip to Israel. Somebody wants to give me a free trip to Israel. How do I manage that? I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to manage? You just receive it or you don't. Doesn't have to work for it. God rewards you in secret. I don't know what my brother prayed. I don't know what his desire he has. He has contributed a lot to the church. I don't know what he did, what he asked. But God rewards you in secret. Our God, who is infinite, supernatural, greater than any other thing in this world, is personal to listen to all your prayers, to know what you need, and He will give you things that you sometimes don't deserve. And God is going to increase that hope level in you. When you are still, you begin to see what God has done. In Psalm 46, they saw something different because of the comforting word of God, because of the hopeful word of God. They begin to see that the war begin to cease. The bow was broken. It was shattered. The spear was shattered. The shields that were burning them with fire was also broken. And God was exalted among the nations. He was exalted in all the earth. God will come and calm us down. Read the scriptures. Read the psalm. I pray that this year you will not just read 8 psalms, but you read more psalms. I have got a suggestion for you. This is my plan. Was my plan this year, and I've carried it out. On the first day of every month, read Psalm 1. Second day, read Psalm 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, and go on and read psalms. At least for every month, you will cover 31 psalms. Yeah? Read that. Begin to delve into the psalm because there's so much riches. Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Martin Luther, as you know, is the Reformation leader. It was because of him that we are able to enjoy the Protestant faith. He was from the Catholic tradition, but he was asked to appear before the emperor and all his Catholic friends and his counterparts because he was preaching a different gospel. He couldn't make sense of the gospel that came by works alone, that you win your salvation only by works. He said that salvation comes by being justified by Christ and not by works. And so he put that in a paper, and he was asked to stand before the emperor and his Catholic counterparts. When he stood before them, he didn't know what to say. The emperor says, all right, you go back and think about it. When he went back and thought about it, he came across Psalm 46, and he went into the psalm. He read the psalm. He believed the psalm. He was convicted by the psalm. He was truly inspired. He went back to the emperor, and he says, I'm convicted by the word of God. It is still justified a justification of my faith, not by works, but by my faith that I might save in Christ. And because of Psalm 46, he was able to lead the Reformation movement to its fulfillment. God wants to do something for us, and God wants us to have that ability to have that posture of stillness before him. God created the brain that is so powerful that in the forebrain, God put into us as we begin to still in the presence of God with his word. And when God's word saturates our forebrain is like a simulator, it's like a machine that is able to see the future with trusting confidence. God put words into our forebrain so that when we meditate on the word of God, that our worry cavity somewhere, our worry region somewhere is being shut off. Do you know it's so powerful? When you meditate on the word of God, when you fully let your mind be renewed by the word of God, by the hopeful news of God, this brain of ours can project the future for us, and it can shut out those worry section, those stress region of our brain, so that we are able to focus and be able to go into our future with trusting confidence. That's how our hope can be built up. I pray this morning that our hope is not built up by any other means. No frame is sweeter than the frame of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our hope is centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the people of Judah, together with their king Hezekiah, trust in the Lord that he is their refuge and their strength, the infinite God and the personal God who is supernatural enough to deliver us and yet personal enough to stay with us to go through this journey. God is that God. And that when we are able to have a preparation, whatever God has put into your heart, to be prepared to raise hope for yourself and also to elevate the hope of other people, do it. Because when you are able to raise hope in others, you raise your own hope. I pray that God will charge you, wow, when the river of God is flowing, that God will charge you with such hope that you cannot contain it, but be a channel. You won't be a dead end, you won't be a dead sea, but you will be a channel where God can channel that hope that has blessed you so much. When you are in his worship, in his service together, be able to go out and bring such a relief and such a joy to other people. And then have the posture of stillness. If you need to go to New Norcia, go to some of the houses that are very quiet, go to the beach. Oh, our beaches are so good. Have a posture of stillness. Be there and just rest in God. Cease from all your frantic activity. Even give yourself permission. Have you ever given yourself permission? Like, okay, I'm worrying sick now. Okay, I'm going to give myself permission not to worry. Have you all given yourself permission to do that? If you have not, then it's good to give you permission to say, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to set a timer. Half an hour. No worry. Set something, do something so that you don't always have to be in a worry mood. And when you come into the presence of God, let God's presence, his stillness, fill you so that you don't have to focus your mind. You don't have to activate all your worry regions so that your worry regions and all your stress regions get very specialized, get very strong, so that anytime you will always approach problems with your stress level. Instead, let your forebrain be so charged with the hope of God so that you are able to bounce back. Even though you may be confronted with special situations in life, you're able to bounce back like that bouncing ball and be able to have the joy and the peace of the Lord reign and rule in your heart. Amen. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.